please take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to start reading in verse 16 in 1 minute, Daniel chapter 6. If you remember how Daniel chapter 1 starts, Judah, the nation, has fallen, and we find that many captives are brought in. Among those are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We find there they simply desire to follow God, and God blessed them and used them in a great way. Then in Daniel chapter 2, the king Nebuchadnezzar has a dream nobody can interpret. Daniel is brought in, and Daniel points to the God in heaven, and he is used as a witness there. And then in Daniel chapter 3, we find King Nebuchadnezzar makes a statue, kind of after the dream that he had in chapter 2, commands all people everywhere to bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three Hebrew boys, unwilling to do that, cast in the fiery furnace, and we find there that God protects them by sending himself. A fourth man shows up and protects them. And then Nebuchadnezzar again realizes there's none like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, still pointing to the God of heaven. And then we find chapter 5 that Nebuchadnezzar is done with, and now Belshazzar is on the throne and having a party that he should not be having. And lo and behold, a hand comes out of the you may say, a drink offering, and then begins to write on the flash of the wall. And so there's the handwriting on the wall. And basically says that he's been numbered and been found wanting, and his days are done with, and the kingdom is parted. And so that night Belshazzar has died. And now we get to Daniel chapter 6. There's a new sheriff in town, you may say, a new ruler. It's been almost 60 years. Some would say that Daniel is about 80 years old, still having influence in the kingdom that he abides in, this kingdom of the Babylonians and now the Medes and Persians. So I'd like to pick up there, because when you do good, I want you to recognize that sometimes even those around you will come against you, not even per se enemies, but those close to you. And we can stand firm and fast and recognize that God will use us if we'll simply cling to him. So notice Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. This is Daniel being thrown into the lion's den after he refuses to obey the king's command to pray only to the king. Verse 16 says, "Then the king commanded they brought Daniel and cast him to the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, and the purpose might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Then the king commanded they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and cast them in the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had mastered them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever in his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. He delivereth and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and even to the reign of Cyrus the Persian." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you, Lord, for your power and might. We thank you, Lord, for your sovereign plan in our life. So, Lord, today I pray that you would just help us to be found faithful, that you give us the courage to stand forth, that we would just simply choose you over everything. So, Lord, give us unction today. Thank you, Lord, again, for this word that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I probably told you the story before about the guy looking for a job. He had gone from place to place to place, couldn't find anything. Finally, out of desperation, goes to the zoo, says, I'll do anything. I'll even clean the elephant's pen. I'll do, just give me a job. And they said, well, we really don't have anything else to do except for one thing. Our silverback gorilla has been ill. We've taken him to the vet, and we need somebody to put on this gorilla suit and just sit in the cage just for a few days. He said, I'm desperate. That's fine. What do I need to do? Nothing. Just sit there. If you want to walk around, that's fine too. Anyway, he does that. He's sitting there. Lo and behold, a kid walks by, throws out a peanut, and he says, man, I like peanuts. So he gets up, picks up the peanut. They start throwing more peanuts. He said, well, I bet if I do more, they'll throw more. So he gets on the swing, and he starts swinging, and they're throwing peanuts, and he swings higher and higher, and he swings over the rail. The rope breaks and falls into the next cage, and he looks up there, and there's the biggest lion he's ever seen. The lion gets up and begins to walk toward him. All of a sudden, he's hollering, yelling, somebody help. The lion jumps on him and says, shh, you're going to get us both fired. Well, we find pretenders in life, amen? I think we can find pretenders all through the Bible, but one of the pretenders was not Daniel. Daniel was a man of faith. He was a man that was faithful. He was a man that always did what God desired. He was a man that had an excellent spirit in him, as we'll see this, because he was not a pretender. He truly loved the Lord God with all of his heart. And so this morning, I want to just hear just a little bit about this man's life. And we've seen of the last several weeks through chapter 5 about how he was steadfast and how that kind of shows us some more tonight about how God desires that we be found faithful. And so notice this idea. Here's some things I want to share with you. First, there's the reputation of Daniel. There's the reputation of Daniel. Again, last week we saw Daniel's reputation. It was clearly seen by others over the last 60 years of his life. When they were in great need, they called for Daniel. And so we understood that Daniel had a great reputation. And so the question is, how did Daniel get a great reputation? Well, notice the first thing. Daniel had a fine spirit within him. Daniel had a fine spirit within him. Verse 3 says this, then this Daniel was preferred above the princes and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. He had an excellent spirit in his life. And so we ask ourselves, here's a man that truly had a spirit that honored God. How could this be, even in a land that may be godless? Well, notice, I want you to see he saw the wonder of God. He understood God's presence. I'm reminded about Daniel's life as he experienced the power of God over and over again. We find earlier in the book, he saw visions and dreams, and we'll see that later in the book, and he began to interpret those dreams for others. He saw how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saved through a fiery furnace when the fourth man showed up. He saw the handwriting on the wall when God's hand began to write on the plaster, and people recognized that there was a divine prophecy. He understood the presence of God. And I'm reminded how God is with us today, that we want to have a fine spirit by seeing that God does mighty work still in our life. I like Daniel chapter 9. This is really a picture of Daniel's life. He says in chapter 9, verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confessions. And I said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Daniel recognized the greatness of God, and it changed his life. And if you'll recognize the greatness of God in your life this morning, it will begin to change your life as well. Secondly, not only did he see the wonder of God, but he followed the word of God. If you go back to chapter 1, we're reminded what it says in chapter 1, verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And so the question is, why? What do you mean not defile? No, he would not come away from the word of God. He really wanted to follow what God's word says. Daniel knew right from wrong because he was raised with the word of God. As a matter of fact, we knew that he had a copy of God's word with him, or some of it anyway. For in Daniel chapter 9, we find this in chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of Medes, which was made king of the realms of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. And so we know that he had some books, or had some of the word of God that Jeremiah wrote down concerning the things that would come. And so that idea is that we also have the Word of God, and it can change our life. The psalmist said in 119:11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And if we'll see the Word of God this morning and follow the Word of God, it will change our life. And it will create a reputation in our life that we truly honor Him above. But there's another thing. Not just seeing the wonder of God and following the Word of God, but He did the work of God by doing what was placed in front of Him. Let me remind you again, He was not a priest or a preacher or those things. He was a government official. He was a politician, you may say, in a sense. But where He was, He always pointed people to those He came in contact with towards the Lord. We find again in chapter 1, Arioch, the master of the eunuchs, saw the power of God in his life. King Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 3 and 4 saw the power of God in his life. King Belshazzar in chapter 5 saw the power of God. Darius will now see the power of God. And so all I'm trying to say, and I've said it time and time again, that where he was, he lived for the Lord in the kingdom that he was in to show others that there was a God in heaven. If you want to make a difference like Daniel, simply see where you are and serve the Lord there. I'm not talking about in these four walls. I'm talking about when you go outside, when you're at your workplace, when you're in your home, when you're at school, wherever you are, serve the Lord with all desire to simply honor Him. Use your position to be a witness for Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3 reminds us, he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. We should be ready to simply share the goodness of God. I'm telling you, we need to recognize that some will never darken the doors of the church. And so we need to go out. We need to be sent out. Dr. David Jeremiah says this, they will not seek, they must be sought. They will not come, they must be brought. They will not learn, they must be taught. It is easy to sit in this house and feel good, but God's called us to go forth and share the good word of God. Daniel will be a witness like nobody of his time because he simply loved the Lord and shared the truth about the Lord above. So we find Daniel had a fine spirit with him because of these things. But secondly, we find that Daniel faithfully served the kingdom. Daniel faithfully served the kingdom. Again, verse 4 says, then the presence and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now again, I'm going to kind of repeat what I've just said. Concerning the kingdom, that's not speaking about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He was referring to the kingdom of the Babylonians, the kingdom that he was living in, the kingdom where he abode. He was living according to the law while living in the land of man. In other words, he was living to God's standard where he was. And I want to say this clearly, you cannot impact the world if you're living like the world. You cannot help them to see the goodness of God if you live like the world themselves. Daniel was a man that lived differently. He was found to have no error or fault. In other words, he was simply doing his best to honor the Lord. And I'm reminded what Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And so when you look at those things, we're called to live for God. We're called to honor Him. We're called to be different from the world. We're called to simply abstain from worldly wickedness and live in a right way. But notice verse 5, then said these men, we cannot find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it concerning the law of his God. He was simply living a life that honored God and his fellow man. And we should have that same example. God has called us to be found faithful. I think about men in the past that really stood firm and fast. I think about Billy Graham. There is a man named Larry King, a talk show host, says, I will give anyone $10,000 for someone to dig up dirt on Billy Graham. Do you know how much he paid out? $0. Why? Not that Billy Graham was a perfect man, but he truly tried to live for the Lord. Oh, we need to be a faithful, faithful people, a people that have an excellent reputation, simply honoring the Lord. We should do what is right. I wonder about our reputation today. Is it good or is it like the world? God wants us to live a godly life that all may see it. Why? Because we are the light of the world. We're that city set on the hilltop that all should see. It is important to have a good reputation. Your reputation will either hurt or help your responsibility to share the goodness of God. Matter of fact, pastors cannot serve with a bad rap, nor should deacons. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 says, moreover, he, speaking about those in leadership, must have a good report of them that are without. In other words, those that are outside the church. We need to have a reputation that honors God as Daniel did. How can we do that? Simply two things. Live a life that honors God by following his word. And secondly, when you fail in these areas, confess it to the Lord and to those you have offended. When you mess up, just confess and simply get back on track. We need to have a reputation that truly lifts the Lord up. Secondly, not only do we have not only is the reputation of Daniel, but now the rough road for Daniel, the rough road for Daniel. Daniel, again, was a man that loved the Lord. I cannot say that enough. He was a man that lived for the Lord. He was living on the straight and narrow. He was a great guy. But just know, when you live for the Lord, things will come against you. Somebody said this years ago, when God blesses, Satan messes. And that simply means is Satan does not like you living for the right reasons. Satan does not like you living for the Lord, because you will influence others to live as well. So notice some things about his life. There were people determined to hurt him. There were people determined to hurt him. Again, let me say, God loves you, but Satan hates you. The Lord wants what's best for you, but Satan wants the worst. And so he will bring up people around you to cause you to stumble and fall. Notice they sought an occasion to hurt him. When you read verse 4, you read that and you understand they're doing everything they can to bring him down. And you ask yourself why. Well, we could talk about jealousy and envy. There's another thought: not everyone will like you. Not everyone will like what you accomplish. Matter of fact, they will be jealous and do everything they can to say those things. They'll say, well, he doing something, but, and add a little twist to it there. I'm just reminded that if you're in a place of leadership, not everyone's going to like you, and that is okay. Not everyone likes the way I preach or teach, and that doesn't bother me. But just know that you need to do what God's called you to do with all your heart. And when people come against you, it is okay. You stay firm and honor the Lord above. It seems like everyone is always against those that are simply doing right. So let me just say this. If you've just been saved or rededicated or made a commitment for service or starting a ministry or even a secular job where you're promoting the work of Christ, be aware your enemies will come against you. That is okay. Stay firm and fast. It's always been so. Not only did they sought an occasion to hurt him, but now notice their enemies are going to seduce the king in verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make firm decrees that whosoever shall ask the petition of any god or man for 30 days, say of thee, O king, he shall be cast to the den of lions. And so look how they kind of seduce this king. They go to the king and say, hey, king, we want unity in the land. And the best way to have unity in the land is, hey, let's have everybody in the land pray to you for 30 days. Matter of fact, they pray to anybody else or any other god for 30 days. Let's cast him to the lion's den. What do you think about that, king? And the king said, I think that's a great idea. It's going to be wonderful. We'll have unity and I'll be lifted up. Now, again, let me remind you about flattery. Flattery are not always good. Flattery will build you up only to bring you down. And I've learned a long time ago, and I think this is a good thing. Do not believe everything good everybody says about you or the bad things everyone says about you. If you believe all the good they say about you, it will build you up and make your head too big you can't even fit through the doors. But if you believe all the bad they say about you, you'll be so dejected you cannot even be used for the Lord. Simply allow the Lord to help you be focused. Get past the flattery. Get past the name-calling. Simply do what God's called you to do. Notice the third thing. Not just this saw an occasion to hurt him and seducing by the king, but they secured it with the laws of Medes and Persians. In verse 8, now the king established the decree and signed the writing that it may not be changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which ordereth not. And so they just got the king to write it down in law. And when the king wrote it down in law, nobody could change it. In other words, it was sealed, it was a covenant, and not even the king himself could turn that around. But then, notice what they do. They start studying Daniel. They start studying Daniel. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew the writing that was signed, he went to his house. Jump to verse 11. These men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Here's the great thing I want you to understand. Be faithful. People will notice. Be faithful. People will see. You may not think you're making a difference in the lives of others when you do what God's called you to do, but people around you will see those, whether they like it or not. They will hear your words. They will see your actions. They will understand your priorities. You will make an impact on them. Stay true and firm. And we're going to talk about Daniel in a minute and how he did that. But just know others around you are watching. You cannot live a life that says, well, nobody cares what I'm doing. They see your sin. They see your good works. They see you. Daniel and those determined to hurt him. But secondly, notice again Daniel's defiance. Daniel's defiance to remain faithful. Go back to verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He knew the command. He knew the cost. But he also knew he must honor the Lord. I'm telling you, we should recognize what honor is when it comes to our Father. Now, we could have backed up and say, well, Daniel wasn't really doing right because the Bible speaks about honoring those in positions of power. And I understand that. Matter of fact, we're called to do that. We're called to honor the king. If you read Titus chapter 3, it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, speaking about kings, to obey magistrates and be ready for every good work. We could talk about 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it says, I exhort thee first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, be giving thanks for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we're called to honor those men in authority, those people set in authority. Secondly, we're also called to obey the laws of the land. If you read Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnations, for rulers are a terror of good works, but to evil. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. He goes on to say in that same chapter, just follow the law of the land until that law goes against the law of God. In other words, we're supposed to obey the laws. We're supposed to do what the nation is set down as good, whether it's the speed limit or not stealing or whatever it is. We should obey the law until that law is contrary to the law of God. And we find this in Acts chapter 4 when they were commanded not to preach the word of God. The people in authority said, you cannot preach anymore. It says in Acts 4:18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right on the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. In other words, you said I can't do this, but God says I must. Therefore, I will follow the word of God. And so today we have a mandate to obey the laws of the land until they come against the laws of God. And then we must obey the law of God. Daniel defied the king's command. You may think, well, why didn't Daniel just close his windows when he prayed? Why didn't he just pray silently for the next 30 days? Why didn't Daniel just lay low maybe for these next 30 days and just take it easy and not be so religiously inclined? Maybe just kind of lay low and just be quiet. Daniel recognized that God had been good to him for all those years. Daniel knew where his blessings came from. We recognize today that God has blessed us, and so we as a people should always stand up and declare the goodness of God. We should always stand up and be found faithful. We should always stand up and be counted. We should make it known that we, one, serve the true and living God. If we are not for God, how can we expect God to be for us? We are in great danger when we turn from God, when we simply don't do his will. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face that he will not hear. It is sad today to think about churches that have simply kind of backed away from preaching the gospel of Christ. They backed away from preaching the truth of the word of God. They backed away from preaching against sin and holiness and righteousness. It's sad today that we're not just tolerating sin, but promoting sin from the pulpits of America today. I'm telling you, it will mess us up. We must stand firm like Daniel. We must take a stand and share with the world that there is a God. No matter the cost, we will serve Him. I wonder, will we stand up and be found faithful? I had this thought that I wrote down. Would they find me faithful to pray? Would they find me faithful to proclaim? Would they find you as they were looking at your life on that day? Would you continue to pray? Would you continue to honor God? We cannot check our Christianity at the door. We must be found guilty when it comes to serving the living God. How can you do that? Love God and love your fellow man. We must do those things. Well, notice, not just Daniel and those that determined to hurt him, and Daniel's defiance remained faithful, but Daniel in his desperate situation, Daniel will choose to follow God, not man, and we all applaud him and say, man, we would do the same, but I wonder, will we recognize when the cost is so great, would we do ourselves? Notice verse 16, then the king commanded, they brought Daniel and cast him to the den of lions. And if you have an understanding how they did in those days, they had a two-chambered lion's den. They would have a big open space, but then a wall that would come down and allow a person to go in and clean this side of the cage and put food here. And then they would open that cage and the lions would come in. They'd close the cage and they could do the same on the other side. And so when it was time to feed the lions, they did it very sparingly. So the lions were always very hungry. You've heard the phrase, hangry. Lions were hangry all the time. And so now it's to the lion's den. They're going to lower him down. And we're going to find that lions are going to do something unusual. But before I go there, I wonder today, when we think about the lion's den and this place of impossible odds, have you ever been in the lion's den? Maybe it's your enemies are all around you. Maybe it's something in your marriage that's trying to kill you. Maybe it's a sickness or a betrayal or a loss. It is simply a place in our life that seems impossible to overcome. But I'm telling you right now that God is the God of possibilities. He overcomes all things by His great power and might. And even in a lion's den, David is going to simply be kept safe. 1 Peter chapter 5 reminds us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, getting back to the case, I know he's lowered down, the lions are over there. Notice this thought. Why? Not because he'd been bad, but because he'd been good. I'm just going to say this. Sometimes our lion's den is because we've done something we should not have been doing. Most of the time, we cause our own lion's den. But not Daniel. Matthew chapter 5 reminds us, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Yes, most of our den moments are deserved, but there are times when we just simply do good that the enemy comes against us. But there's something here that I don't see. And that is complaining. Daniel does not complain before. Daniel does not complain while they're lowering. At least we have no record of it. And Daniel does not complain when he's in the pit. Can you see him lowering down? So far, I don't hear any words from Daniel. I don't hear him saying, this ain't fair. What are they doing? Why me, oh Lord? What's going on? Not a word out of Daniel. He is a man that recognizes that God has this. And yes, our tendency to say, what's going on? I wonder, will we simply trust like Daniel? Instead of complaining about all of our troubles and trials, recognizing God has a plan. The Bible tells us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But here's the third thing. There's the communing with the Lord. Daniel was a man of prayer, but he was a man of prayer before he hit the lion's den. Let me say that again. He was a man of prayer before he hit the lion's den. Daniel didn't have to go look for God on that day. He already had been talking with Him beforehand. Life can take unexpected turns. Life can bring tragedies and trials. Live a life starting today that focuses on God, that has a communion with Him. So when the lion's den comes, you don't have to look for God. He is right there beside you, and you know it so well. I don't know who wrote this, but I like this. May I never forget that I need God on my best days as desperately as I do on my worst. Let me say that again. May I never forget that I need God on my best days as desperately as I do on my worst. The good news is when everyone else will fail you, the Lord will not. When all have left your side, the Lord will not. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says this, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And so we know that the Lord has us. The Lord will not let go of us. He is there for us. Daniel recognized the Lord was the greatest power of all. Romans 8:31 says this, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And there are verses over and over and over in God's word that speak about his greatness and his power for those that simply believe in him. So let me say this today, trust in the Lord. Don't look for him in the lion's den. Look for him today and recognize he wants that in your life. He wants to have that relationship before the den of lions is upon you. Well, notice the third thing. Not just the reputation of Daniel and the rough road for Daniel, but now the reward of Daniel. So we're going to find the king gives the decree. He doesn't want to do this. He has a change of heart. He knows he's messed up. He puts Daniel in the lion's den. He spends the night fasting and probably praying, asking that somehow that Daniel be okay. We're going to read that in verse 16, 17, 18, 19. We're going to find that the king gets up. Notice verse 20. "And he came to the den," this is the king now, "and he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Verse 21 says, "Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever." Verse 22, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me as much as before him. Innocent was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt." Daniel in that lion's den all night without any problems. The angel came and shut the lion's mouth just as he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery pit. He held the flames from them. We find that there is no hurt whatsoever. So notice his reward. First, Daniel was raised from the pit. Verse 23. "Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God." No hurt was found. Now let me say, God's always for his believers. God's always for his people. And yes, sometimes we do experience hurt. We do experience trial. Matter of fact, when you go back to the New Testament in Acts chapter 12, we find that two great men are arrested, James and Peter. One gets beheaded on that same little bit of passage, and the other is sent by an angel to be rescued. I don't know why James had to die or Peter had to live, but I do know this, that God in his great power and might and sovereignty had a better plan for both of those guys. One, for James to be in heaven with him, and two, for Peter to continue the work of God. And so in our lives, it may not always work out exactly like we like it, but God's plan is always best, and you can trust in that. So many times that God does choose to help us and encourage us in the ways we want when we pray. The psalmist said in Psalms 30, verse 5, "For his anger endures but for a moment, and his favors for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Psalms 40, verse 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings." Verse 3 says, "He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord." So I think that's the key there. God does help. God does do mighty things. God does miraculously many times. And it's all for us to give God honor and glory and point others to know the Lord. The Lord will bring you through storms. And when the impossible is faced, he will help you to overcome those things. I'm telling you, God never fails. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear." God is there for us. Secondly, not only was Daniel raised from the pit, but Daniel was revenged of the wrong. Daniel was revenged of the wrong. Verse 24 says, "Then the king commanded, they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them to the den of lions, and their children, their wives, and the lions which had mastered them, break all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den." And you're saying, what's going on here? I'm telling you, sin affects everybody in your life. What a sad thought that those men that tried to have Daniel killed now are brought to the day of judgment, and they are thrown in, not just them, but their families as well. A sad testimony about how sin ruins everything. I'm reminded also of Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Don't worry about fighting those guys around you. Don't worry about getting back at those people that are trying to harm you. Let the Lord do as he does. He always has a better plan. Let God work and fight your battles. I'm reminded of what Jesus said on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, in the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 34. You just let the Lord do what God does, and you don't worry about revenge. He will work it out. Their revenge, their testimony, it was sudden, it was severe, it was spreading. It simply caused all their family to die. But here's the last thing. The God of Daniel was given reverence. The God of Daniel was given reverence. Verse 25 says, then King Darius wrote unto all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and the steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall not even be unto the end. He delivered and rescued, and he worked signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And so we find that the God of Daniel was given great reverence. Daniel's den experience caused the king to see the greatness of God. And so in our life, our quote-unquote den experiences help others to see how good God is. Matthew 5:16 says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Daniel had a great testimony. And let me remind you, without the test, there is no testimony. The question is, do we have a testimony? Do we have a life that is willing to stand firm? Three quick things. We must choose discipline over disorder. Daniel was a man of prayer. He didn't let any of that bother him when the king said, you can't do this. He was true. He was disciplined. He focused on God. Secondly, we must choose character over comfort. We must choose character over comfort. We must stand up even when there's a consequence, even when bad things may be on the horizon. We must always choose to be a character that loves the Lord. And lastly, we must choose love over life. That simply means we must choose the Lord over this present life. How good it is when we understand and follow him, and how great a difference it makes not only in our life, but in those around us. And not only for those around us, but for generations to come. Daniel, written almost 2,500 years ago, still stood firm in his testimony as we read today. How can we do that? By simply doing what Daniel did, staying faithful. The songwriter said, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I hope today that's your testimony. I hope today that when you leave here, you can stand firm and fast and say, I will follow the Lord. No matter, just like Daniel stood the test of time, God's desire for us is to do the same. If you'd bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment and think about your life. I don't know what you're facing, but I know one that can help you overcome those things. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I know one who can deal with it clearly. It's the Lord above. And it starts with the same way as it did with Daniel, by trusting in him. If you're here today and never said yes to Jesus, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord, if you've never asked the Lord to help you, why not today? The Bible speaks about submitting ourselves unto him, confessing him as Lord, and living for him. Why not make that public this morning as we sing this song in a few minutes? As you just walk that aisle and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus, or I've confessed Jesus, what next? And then we'll talk about what it takes to be obedient. Maybe secondly, you are a believer and your life's not been clearly seen by others. Maybe you've kind of hid out. Maybe you've been a like a Secret Service Christian in one sense. and that God wants you to stand firm and fast like Daniel did, bold in your faith, why not make a commitment this morning that you will be like Daniel, willing to simply stay on course and share the goodness of God? Maybe today it's church membership and God's called you to this place, or maybe it's prayer at this altar. Whatever it is, do not miss an opportunity to be in tune with the Lord above. He truly desires this of me and you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the example of Daniel. We thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness. Help us to be that same people, people of excellent spirit, people that truly serve you no matter where we're at. Help us to have the unction to do that and the boldness, no matter the cost, that others may know and love you as well. In Jesus' name, amen.